We'll move on to the fourth case. And that's Christopher Wilson versus Ruffo Family Corporation. Murchison.
Good morning, Your Honor. May it please the court. My name is Denise Murchison, and I represent the plaintiff appellant, Christopher Wilson, who is present here today at the plaintiff appellant table. There's only really one key issue that I want to address today with the court, and that I'm asking the Seventh Circuit to address, and that is whether or not there are similarly situated team leaders of a different race who are treated more favorably than Mr. Wilson. Judge Plunkett and his memorandum and opinion tells us right off, there's no question with the prong of protected class and adverse action. He also tells you in his opinion that it's a given that the plaintiff met the legitimate expectations of his employer. So, even though much was talked about this in the brief, I'm not going to address that today. We're going to talk about similarly situated persons. There were two. William Larson, who was a white team leader, and Charles Brigham, who was a white team leader, and the plaintiff, Christopher Wilson. They were all similarly situated in that they all falsified the scrap report. They all had problems with production notes. They all were given numerous disciplinary memorandums, and they all rated below average in the quality of work. But only one person was demoted, and that was Mr. Wilson.
Now, one of the problems that you might have is the failure to comply with Local Rule 56-1 in terms of rebutting the defendant's proffer of undisputed facts as it relates to his performance and the other two gentlemen that you made reference to. Can you speak to that?
Yes, I can. I know much was made of that in the appellee's brief. However, the district court did not dismiss this case because they didn't follow technically the Rule 56A. That's not why it was dismissed, and it's very clear in the opinion that that's not why it was dismissed. It was because the court found, after going through the evidence, that there weren't similarly situated individuals. And what Mr. Wilson is asking here you to do today is to look at the evidence, because it was right there in the record. His personnel file, Mr. Larson's personnel file, Mr. Brigham's personnel file, and we're not saying that any of these people are angels. However, I guess you don't have to be a brilliant scientist to be a team leader like at NASA, but all of them had the same kinds of problems.
And the same in terms of numbers, because one of the things the district court says was that his problems were greater. So maybe you could summarize the number of complaints or give us some idea of your view. Are you saying that their files were really virtually identical? You know, I'm trying to get a handle on that.
Of course. Well, it came out in Mr. Levi's deposition, and he's the person who's doing the discipline, he's the person who demoted, that he testified that they all had problems. And he put notes in the personnel file. And even though he might tell an individual that they had a problem and write it on this little report that went back and forth, he wasn't necessarily good at discipline. He needed discipline when it came to the black team leader. Otherwise, if you're a white team leader, these are just notes that Mr. Levi is giving you so that you can correct your performance. I hope I've addressed that question adequately.
Well, for regard to 56-1, I'm obviously, I guess you or your predecessor or somebody did not respond to that, right? Didn't file your own version of the facts?
What happened, Your Honor?
Whether it's you or somebody else.
There was another attorney at the district level. Mr. Wilson's attorney filed a memorandum in opposition to the motion for summary judgment, and they filed their own facts.
Well, as far as the rule is concerned, 56-1, you're supposed to state them. You're supposed to recite them. You're supposed to lay them out so that things like you're talking about now are before the court.
Your Honor, Rule 56 is very clear about what the plaintiffs, the moving and non-moving, are supposed to do. But what I would like to call the court's attention to is that's not why this case was dismissed on summary judgment. It was not dismissed because of technical problems with complying with Rule 56.
Well, it was dismissed on the basis of certain facts that are undisputed.
Well, it's the plaintiff's position that those facts are disputed.
Were they disputed before the court?
Yes, it was. And it was disputed
with the local rules.
Well, the plaintiff disputed those facts by presenting the personnel files of the white team leaders that demonstrate that they also had disciplinary issues. And also, I failed to address the evaluations of the plaighff and Mr. Brigham and Larson, the two white comparators.
But this points out the problem with not spelling things out in like 56.1, because when I asked you the comparative question to give me some specifics, you know, for example, there were 8 notes in the Larson file about his problems. There were 10 notes in the Brigham file. Maybe in your client's file there were 8. Then we'd know specifically. I understand you're saying that they all had these problems and they were all like on the shady side in terms of their various conduct, but it points out the problem when it's not laid out. And I understand it wasn't you, Ms. Murchison, but when you don't spell out specifically those facts and you just hand the district court the personnel file, then the job is up to the district court to like go through line by line and pull out the facts that are favorable, unless they just jump out at you.
But what's different about this case is, in a lot of motions for summary judgment, you're dealing with voluminous files. That was my case with Mr. Wilson. He gave you 4 evaluations of himself and his comparators. And these are not books. These are 3 or 4 pages. And I'd like to address the evaluations. The evaluations show that Mr. Wilson's performance was average at the time that he was demoted. And the comparator's performance was average or better. So if his performance is average, and that is average or better, why was he demoted? The reason is because there was racial animus. And there was a statement by Mr. Levi that he would like to see the color change, and it did change. I see that I'm out of time.
Well, just one other point. Looking at the district court's opinion, when he talks about the personnel file, and I had forgotten he had said this, but I thought there was some mention of it in the opinion, he talks about the fact that he did review Brigham and Larson's personnel files, but there was no explanation about the document's significance or Lavelle's critical notes as it relates to your client's personnel file. So, I mean, I think that just points out the problem in things not being spelled out. I understand it was there, and that's certainly there for us to review as well, and we will review it, but I thought there was some mention.
I would ask the court to also consider Mr. Levi's testimony about the problems that all the team leaders had. Thank you.
Thanks. Ms. Perkins?
May it please the court, excuse me, on behalf of Russell Stanley Corporation, we request that the court affirm Judge Plunkett's grant of summary judgment in this case. Bottom line, Mr. Wilson was demoted because he was doing a poor job as a supervisor. This case is perhaps somewhat unique in that, as the court has noted, the plaintiff did not respond, as required by Local Rule 56.1, to the statement of undisputed facts the defendant presented to the district court below, leading to, as Judge Plunkett determined in his opinion, the admission of the facts that defendant put forward, because there was no contravention of those facts, including the reason that plaintiff was demoted, because of his lack of leadership, specifically safety, quality, housekeeping, and the direction of people. Judge Plunkett specifically noted that the record demonstrates this plaintiff wasn't meeting his employer's legitimate expectations. He hasn't satisfied his prima facie case. Now, the district court did go on to the fourth element of the prima facie case and evaluate whether or not Mr. Wilson had shown that there were similarly situated comparators who were not African American who were treated better under similar circumstances. And the judge did look at everything before him, but never found that any of the defendants proffered undisputed facts would not be admitted, but looked beyond those somewhat into the files themselves and properly found that there were no similarly situated comparators. What we're talking about here is the plaintiff, Chris Wilson, who was a team leader from approximately mid-1998 up until November, December of 2000. His two alleged comparators, William Larson and Charles Brigham, became team leaders about the time Mr. Wilson was demoted, late 2000. And it is undisputed in the record, one of the facts put forward by defendant, actually based on plaintiff's own deposition testimony, that following Russell Stanley's acquisition of this plant, Russell Stanley was raising the standard, putting into place standard operating procedures, requiring higher quality and better work performance of his team leaders. So we already have one distinction in the comparison between Mr. Wilson and Mr. Larson and Mr. Brigham. They weren't team leaders at the same time.
But they had very similar problems that he did in terms of the paperwork, in terms of these falsified scrap reports, so they were basically lying on the job and providing incomplete documentation. That was true of the other two.
They had some similar problems, but not anywhere near the same scope. And the Mr. Lavelle testified that plaintiff was the most consistently inaccurate. William Larson had submitted incorrect scrap reports two times, maybe three. Plaintiff did so maybe 100 times. And we have to understand that was only a small aspect of the performance of a team leader, and not even the aspect of poor performance that led to the plaintiff's demotion. The performance evaluation for the team leader, which is in essence the supervisor on the shift, there's the top person on a shift, and Mr. Wilson worked on a night shift. There's a 10-part performance review, and Mr. Wilson was ranked below or didn't meet expectations on 6 out of 10 of those evaluation categories. The undisputed basis for his demotion was leadership, his safety, his direction of people, his quality. There was no paperwork problem trigger that led to the demotion. It was all of these factors on which Mr. Lavelle had worked with him a lot in the time preceding his demotion. Mr. Lavelle testified, I verbally counseled him, I put notes in his file, I moved to disciplinary action. His problems were worse, but it wasn't just the paperwork. It's one comparison point that wasn't even directly related to the demotion. And I do want to make one more point about that. There's some testimony of Mr. Lavelle that was highlighted in the reply brief, to the effect that all the team leaders had similar problems with falsifying paperwork because there was this competition internally that developed between the team leaders because the production numbers were posted. Well, that ended in December of 98 when Mark McGrew replaced Jim Black as the plant manager. So that testimony actually relates back to a time when all four team leaders were African American, And LaValle was talking about all four of them similarly engaged in this competition for who had the best production numbers and thereby falsified paperwork. There's no evidence that that testimony relates to Mr. Larson or to Mr. Brigham. And another thing that we can't lose sight of, they were being evaluated by the same guy, Greg LaValle. And it is only LaValle's testimony that we have about whether or not Brigham and Larson were worse than plaintiffs. And he says they weren't, or that they were. He says that they weren't worse than plaintiffs. The plaintiff was much worse on that one aspect. But there's no evidence whatsoever that Larson and Brigham weren't meeting the company's standards in the other areas of Mr. Wilson's performance deficiencies. His leadership, his direction, the kinds of things that Mr. Wilson himself testified to. I shouldn't have been marked down for safety when other people who reported to me on my shift got hurt. That's not my problem. I shouldn't be marked down for paperwork issues because sometimes I didn't get attendance properly reported because that's insignificant. There were a number of problems with Mr. Wilson's performance. They were addressed over time. There's nothing similar about his performance and Mr. Brigham's and Mr. Larson's.
Is he still a troubleshooter with the company now?
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Yes, he is. And as I understand it, doing very well. And I think we take a step back from this. There simply is no indicia of a discriminatory motive in Mr. Wilson's demotion. They've worked with, it's kind of a classic case of progressive discipline. I mean, say what you will about, and the number of people have, about Mr. LaValle's penchant for writing notes and whether that's a motivating thing for a manager to do. But he wrote a lot of notes, and he moved from notes to discipline to demotion to get this individual's attention. He documented performance issues, and he followed through on them. But at the time of his demotion, Mr. McGrew, the plant manager, the boss, told plaintiff, "This isn't personal. We want to see you reapply for a team leader position." And Mr. LaValle put in the last of the evaluations that are presented to the court that Chris has the basic building blocks from which to start to climb to the team leader position again. There wasn't discrimination. It was just simply a matter of managing properly and correctly an employee's performance. One last point. There's only one allegedly discriminatory remark in the record, and that was brought up in the reply brief, that Mark Baggett, an African-American team leader, supposedly said that LaValle told him there was too much of one color in the company. And I would note for the record that Mr. Baggett denied that in his deposition, and that's why we have hearsay rules.
Okay.
Thank you.
Ms. Richardson. Much time you got? Yeah, 2 minutes.
The plaintiff is asking you to reverse the decision of the district court. And once again, I'd like the court to take a look at the performance evaluations, particularly the performance evaluation that Christopher Wilson received right after he was demoted, that shows that his performance, if you add up the numbers, met his employer's expectations. So what was the motivation to demote him? It was race. And once again, there were similarly situated comparators. They had the same kind of disciplinary record. They each falsified records, and I believe the counsel has misstated Mr. LaValle's testimony. He was speaking of team leaders in general, not just the black team leaders, but the white team leaders also. So if there are no other questions, thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Thanks to both counsel. Case will be taken under advisement.